It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Everybody calling for May to get in there, trying to, you know, pick apart, you know, Jacoby, find all the clips where they think somebody's running open and all that. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure Jacoby missed some throws. I'm sure he's scrambling. You know, he probably shouldn't have on some of that. But that's what happens when ain't nobody blocking up front. You don't trust it. You don't trust it. Your eyes be in the wrong place every now and then. Y'all think you're going to throw a rookie out there, he's just going to go out there, shred it up, and handle business? I don't think so. You know, your best offensive lineman, David Andrews, got hurt like the first quarter, second quarter of the game. So that's tough. You know, your backup center. Playing with a lot of backups on, you know, up front, man. Like, I don't see why anybody's trying to say Drake May needs to go out there and play. It's just, it's too much going on.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
That was James White with a familiar refrain I think we're hearing from a lot of the don't play May people, and that is you can't put him out there. It's going to hurt his development. He's not an offense put around him that can protect him. There is not wide receivers that can get open. He's going to be holding the ball. He's going to be getting sacked. It's going to be the same thing you're seeing with Jacoby Brissett. And I even add this. As much as I think Drake may be a better athlete and maybe a little more mobile than Jacoby Brissett is, he doesn't have those same kind of instincts. He doesn't know the same, and I know we disagree on this, but when the pass rush is bearing down on him, he doesn't have those same kind of instincts because he hasn't been sacked in the NFL a million times like Jacoby Brissett has. He's been sacked a few times. He got sacked by the Jets. That guy, Sherwood, or whatever that guy was
named, rock bottom,
came in there and crushed him, yeah. And that is a learning experience, and these are all learning experiences that you have to sort of go through. But Brissett's been through all that. He has his internal clock, I'll take over Drake Mays. His ability to sense pressure on the blind side, I'll take over Drake Mays. And that's about it. I mean, I don't think I'd take too much else that Jacoby Brissett does at the quarterback position over what Drake May can do or what we think he can do. But those are two things that I look at and think, yeah, you know, all right, I'm willing to listen to this point here because Brissett, I think, has done a decent job of avoiding the rush. He's still getting hit a lot, but he knows when to move. He knows when it's coming. He has a good instinct for it, and he's trying his best out there, I think. I don't know necessarily that Drake May would be able to do that, but even still, this is what they're saying. I mean, this is the company line. You can't put him out there. This team is not good enough.
Yeah, and I struggle with it because these guys are professionals and they've lived the life. Like James White got redshirted, essentially, his rookie year, if you remember. There was a while there where all those running backs kind of sat a year and then you played the next year. And so he has seen this from the inside perspective, not as a quarterback, but as an NFL player and a guy that is involved in the offense, not, you know, not a defensive back or whatever. I kind of disagree with it. And I kind of, so today someone asked, and I don't know if you've, there's a school of thought out there that maybe Jacoby Brissett is seeing ghosts and starting to anticipate pressure and not keeping his eyes downfield and going through his progressions.
But I think you saw that in the San Francisco game.
Yeah,
I think you saw that a few times.
And that's where I disagree with you. He has more experience. You're right. He's experienced way more sacks and pressures and all these things than Drake May. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing at this point? That's my question. I don't know. I think he might be a little, and I also believe he's less athletic, so he has to, in his head, get out faster than Drake May does. Because I think Drake May can wait till the last second and trust his athleticism, his quickness, his feet. Whereas Jacoby Brissett, his own head coach, was the slowest black quarterback in the NFL, right?
Right.
So if he's going to get out, he probably has to get out a step too early, not a step too late. And we've seen some of those sacks where, or throwaways even, where like he's kind of, like he started to go, but now they got his leg and he's like trying to stumble and get rid of it. Maybe Drake May gets out of that because his feet are quicker and boom, he's gone. He's got the edge.
Yeah.
So I think you can argue in both directions on which guy would just in that.
Or Drake May start seeing ghosts too.
Absolutely.
Like Sam Darnold did.
Or never sees the ghost and it's not a ghost. It's just a man who kills him. Right?
It's just a boulder and Indiana Jones rolling him over. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fake, right? That's a mirage. No, that's not a mirage. That's literally a boulder that's going to roll right over you right now.
Better duck.
But we'll never know. Like that is the only thing is the. A presumption, and you and I have talked about this, the presumption of negativity that everything will be negative. He's going to get hit. It's going to ruin his confidence. He's going to get hurt. Everything's negative. And then also the devaluation of, I had somebody respond to my poll when I gave you the results earlier.
Yes.
Why would you put him out there to, you know, to what end or something? Experience? Like, people just devalue experience, getting the process going. And I find it hard to, was the offensive line good last year?
No.
Right. It stinks.
It was better, but it's not good.
But it stinks this year, right?
Yes.
Is it going to be good next year?
I doubt it.
Right. So
I think you can repair an offensive line in an offseason. I think that that's possible.
Yeah, but there's a lot of bad offensive lines.
I don't think they're going to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's my point. So, okay, you're not going to play him this year. You're going to play him, or you're going to play him in December behind a bad offensive line. And then next year, there's no guarantee. I know I keep saying Will Campbell or the kid from Texas. Plenty of highly drafted offensive linemen either struggle early before they settle in or are busts.
Yeah, that happens.
So he could very well have to, I don't know.
Almost every starting left tackle in the league, though, is a top 15 pick.
Oh, yeah. If you want a top left tackle, you have to draft him high.
Yeah, that's the majority of it.
It's kind of like quarterbacks now.
Yeah.
If the receiver, because those are the things, right? Quarterback, tackle, receiver. The receiver is the one you can get somewhere else. Still, in modern football, get the receiver in the second round, the third round, whatever. But if you want a franchise quarterback, most of them go in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them go high in the first round. And if you want a franchise tackle, most of them go in the first round and most of them go high in the first round. But even with a franchise tackle, Will Campbell, I like using that as my placeholder.
Yep.
Let's put him in there. The line may still stink. David Andrews may retire. Brian Hudson could be your starting center next year for all I know. Like your line, Laydon Robinson may not develop. Maybe Laydon Robinson looks like he next year like he does on those consecutive plays in San Francisco where he gets bull rushed on one and I was going to use a B word, but I won't. slapped around B-slapped, on the other.
Yeah.
If he looks like that, like I don't know how good your line's going to be next year. He's going – every quarterback I've ever seen, and I'm trying to think here, at some point has played behind a bad offensive line. It's part of the job.
Mm.
So – maybe he learns sooner rather than later how to deal
with it. Brady ever behind a bad offensive line?
Yeah, I think there were some bad
lines. He's had some that were better than others. Ever bad?
I feel like
he had a pretty charmed offensive line career.
I think if Jacoby Brissett had been behind some of the lines Brady was, they would have looked bad, but Brady got rid of the ball quickly.
Fair.
I think they benefited like that, everybody else benefited from Brady's ability to get rid of the ball quickly, his accuracy, his head, the whole thing. So the players are all circling the wagons. I mean, we can go. We have Stiz. Do you have the Scott Pioli quote from Edelman's Games with Names podcast? Everybody's circling the wagon. Everybody who's far more experienced in the NFL than us, who's been around the block as a player, who's been around the block as a GM. I don't even know if Stiz is in there when I was calling for him to.
There he is. head pops up.
Everybody who's been around football, and we're idiots, right? We're not experts. We've never been in the league, seems to agree you can't play Drake May. This was how Scott Pioli, former president of player personnel for the Patriots, comes to the idea of playing Drake May.
You better measure 100 times and cut once when you go to that point where he's going to go, because then if you're pulling him, and then it becomes a mind screw.
Mind screw. He's worried about a mind screw.
By Chris Angel.
And, right. So, again, what did Pioli assume? Negative.
Yeah.
No positive.
Nope.
How come no one says, what if he sets a new record for completion percentage in four straight games like Jaden Daniels? Why can't he do that?
I have been asking this question now for almost the entire time since the season started, since before the season started.
What if he just wins? Bo Nix, not playing great.
Nope.
Didn't Bo Nix just beat Aaron Rodgers?
Sure did.
Oh, interesting.
And he beat Baker Mayfield right before that.
So did the wheels fall off in Denver?
No.
Is it great? I'm not saying it's perfect or great, but he's learning.
That is a huge confidence boost to a kid like him, especially someone that a lot of people wrote off and thought, you know, he's the Mac Jones of this draft, basically, right? He's the last guy getting picked. He's not that good. He stayed in college forever. There's all these knocks on him and all these reasons to say, hey, you know, he's probably not going to give you all that much. And they put him out there because why not? You know, they don't have – that's the other thing, is there's not this idea of, well, he's so inexperienced. These other quarterbacks have all been in college forever. You know,
sure.
Like, they, especially – and maybe not Williams so much, but the other two certainly have. They were in college for a long time. Penix is an older quarterback. And I think that sort of matters here when you talk about this. But even still, even with that, you're going to get the kid experience in the NFL or not. You drafted him.
You've
got to own that draft pick.
If you want to find reasons to not play him, yes, they are there. The offensive line, his experience, whatever. But if you want to find reasons to play him, I think you can find those. Like, can I counter any of your arguments you say to not play him that you just brought up? Those are all legit.
Mm-hmm.
Can I counter with, I don't know, he looked okay in the preseason. He was the best quarterback on the roster.
Yep.
And you said you're competing. Isn't that an argument?
Yes.
Experience matters. And your football coach believes you get better at playing football by playing football, right?
Yes.
And
you said that a few times.
You're starting the process of becoming an experienced quarterback, because you can't get experience without experience. You're always going to make your first NFL start.
Unless you're watching on the sideline, according to Alex Van Pelt. That's how you really get the experience.
Do you, though? Oh, don't forget you get VR reps, too.
The VR reps. Yes, of
those
course. Right, yeah.
Which I mock
getting
those.
Getting sacked by a virtual reality lineman is really painful.
I don't know if
painful.
There's value in those or not. There's probably some value in those. I think there's more value in those than standing on the sideline.
I agree with that.
Right?
I'd agree with that.
With that little black earpiece in, just listening to a play, eating seeds or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a hyper-realistic video game.
Yeah.
There's something to be gained
from
that.
There's probably an in-between value there. It's not like being in the game.
It's like when you get Madden for the first time and you scroll through the ratings to see, like, oh, what did they give this guy? Like, who's this player? Oh, I didn't know this guy's rated so high or whatever. Like,
you go around
the league, you learn something. That's kind of what the VR stuff
but
is.
But I just think for every point about he's not ready, it's not time, there's a counterpoint that can be made. And everybody has dug in their heels.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Maybe not Jerod Mayo, though, as we mentioned earlier. Maybe he was in the play him, and then he goes, well, Andrews is out. How about we sit him all year?
How about that?
I don't want to break him, and we'll probably all lose our jobs if we break him this time.
Probably. You don't want to break anybody, especially after the Mac Jones debacle. You don't want to be the team that breaks quarterbacks.
You didn't break him until year two.
Exactly. That's a big, important point in all of this, but it does also lend the fact, you know, whenever you break him, whether it's year one, year two, or year three, or somewhere down the road, year four, I guess, by then, if you haven't broken him, then you're probably okay. But if it's any time in those first 3 years, it doesn't matter. Then no one's going to care about that. You're going to call the Patriots a place where you don't want to be drafted if you're a quarterback. You don't want to sign if you're a free agent. And if you get traded there, then you don't want to re-sign. You don't want to re-up with them because this place ruins quarterbacks because they don't have an infrastructure for one. And I think that's a very real fear that they could have.
So,
you know, I think that could be, you get a reputation like that, like the Jets had for however long, you know, between Sanchez and all these guys that they cycled through, Geno Smith, they were a quarterback wasteland for about 15 years, you know, after Brett Favre, basically. It was Pennington and all those bums. And now finally they got a guy, but he's 40 years old and they're going to have to lose him and start over again. But the Jets, that's what I don't want the Patriots to become, what the Jets were all those years.
Well, you're not the Jets. We'll start with that.
Are you not?
You're not the Jets.
You're not far off.
Are you?
These last two
did
seasons?
Did the Jets go to a Super Bowl in the
80s? In the 80s, did they?
No.
No, okay.
Jets go to the Super Bowl in the 90s?
They did not.
You did. Mm-hmm. So everybody thinks football started in 2001 around here.
Right.
The Jets went, I mean, the Patriots went to Super Bowls. They were, in the 70s, they were considered like the favorite. And then that, I don't really remember, like there was the phantom pass interference or roughing the pass.
Oh, the Raymond Berry or whatever.
They like broke the record for rushing yards. And like they were a good football team. They had a lot of talent. The Jets have been a debacle for a long time. You're not the Jets. You're the Patriots, and you've been better than people give you credit for, even in the 80s and 90s at various points. So I don't really worry about that. But my other question is, do you treat these comments from a Pioli or from a Julian Edelman or from a James White? Do you treat them as more valuable? Like, do you think they
are experts? As info they got from the team. That's what I treat it as. Like
protecting the team.
Protecting the team sort of company line. This is my informed opinion on what they're going to do. I think they're getting it from someone inside the building. Yes.
Yeah. Because I just...
And so I value it to that extent, yes.
So you almost value it less?
No, I don't. I mean,
well,
I think
it's kind of propaganda. If it's coming from inside the building,
well,
then...
if it's just their opinion, then you value it as much as you value anybody's opinion.
But that's my question.
If it's information they're giving you through their opinion, if it's an informed opinion, which I think it is.
But I don't want it to be informed, because then it's propaganda.
Okay.
Because then
it's
defending...
propaganda.
I don't know if you've heard this word. They're defending the plan.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. I'm just saying, if Devin McCourty goes on Sunday Night Football, and let's pretend he doesn't have inside info,
okay,
and says, I wouldn't play Drake May, does that influence you? Does that make, like, Rob Gronkowski goes on, you can't put him out there, keep Jacoby Brissett out
no,
there.
It doesn't influence me to change
I look
my
at
mind
it
on it
with
no.
my own logic and my own information, right? Like,
well,
I don't.
Gronk would want to have Jacoby Brissett on.
Yes,
not
right.
Jacoby Brissett.
That's a cheap shot.
Well, if he could,
his words, not mine,
pronounce someone's name correctly, it would be a lot harder to
he
take
struggles.
These cheap shots.
We all do at times.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, it is the quarter poll here in the NFL. We'll give out some awards for the league and for the Patriots, and we'll get to your phone calls right after Joe Braverman tells you what's trending.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Eminem, if anyone asks.
It is.
So screw you.
What?
I do like this song. I know. I hate
it. Oh, it grew on you.
I hated it the first time, but it is a pretty good song.
Yes, let's go.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Classic Eminem is great, and new Eminem is great. In between, there were some times I didn't love it.
There's some new Eminem I don't love either. That song he had about the Vegas thing, I thought that was very good. You know,
can't win them all.
His diss song to Machine Gun Kelly, I liked.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. I actually enjoyed Machine Gun Kelly's diss song to him too.
And it wasn't the worst.
I'm not a big fan of his, but I thought it was a pretty good song. Anyways,
real quick, can I read the?
By the way, congratulations to Eminem. He's a grandfather.
Yes,
that
Haley.
Haley's pregnant, and she came out with a Detroit Lions jersey, and she gave it to him, and on the back it said Grandpa. Eminem's a grandpa. That's weird.
That my hopes weird. Of ever ending up with Haley now officially gone.
You had those hopes?
I absolutely did.
All right, you made that sound creepier than it needs to be.
When you use that voice, it kind
of
does.
Good Lord. Keep it to yourself and in your pants. Text of the year.
Oh, let's hear it.
603. When Hart danced to get through college, he only needed a quarter pole.
That's pretty good.
That's a good line.
That's pretty good. Bravo.
You know, quarter
Bravo
pole.
Bravo texter in the 603. That's a good New Hampshire text right there.
Do I also have to teach you that quarter pole is actually wrong in horse racing, where you got it ass backwards? This is actually the three-quarter pole, because they tell
I'm
you how far
pole
you
ass. Hearing a lot of weird
Stop
stuff.
Stop it.
Whatever. You say a lot of things, and then you just assume that everyone's going to let them go.
And you never let them go.
Point out that they were pretty funny sounding, and you set them in a
and
weird
you
sequence.
You just got to stop the train. You pull that thing. I got to get off.
Yes. Yes, I do. I absolutely do have to
derails
do that.
In Leechmere.
Anyways, that's the train. I mean, that's the T. It's part of the agreement here. You get on that thing, you don't know what's going to happen. All right. Without any further ado, we are a quarter of a way through the NFL season, as are the Patriots. Ish. So let's go ahead and get to some awards. All right. Our quarter of the year awards. We'll begin. Should
I
we
feel
start?
Like I'm soaring through the clouds.
This does sort of. It's very inspirational music.
Am I Superman? I'm like,
this might be the Oscars or the. I'm not sure which award show.
Yeah, right. This is when you give the nominees.
This is falling with style.
The nominees are.
That was good. That
for
was
best
Toy Story.
Original score, John Williams.
Tell
the
us.
Other guys.
And the other guy.
The electronic band or whatever. Whoever put the score together. Okay. Anyways, we do have some awards that we want to give out.
Okay, let's go.
Let's save the big one for last and start with something fun like Offensive Player of the Year. Who in the NFL, Andy, has been the Offensive Player of the Year through four games?
So I have, because we're doing Patriots and NFL.
Let's do NFL first, okay. And then we'll do Patriots, yeah.
So my answer is going to be the same for both.
No way, really?
In a way.
I think we did the exact same thing.
So my NFL Offensive Player of the Year is Derrick Henry,
and your Patriot is Hunter Henry. That's exactly what I did.
Did we just become
that's exactly
best friends?
What I did.
You yelled at me earlier.
Henry and Henry. I have them
but
both
I,
right
I have
there.
It right here. Henry and Henry.
copying off my sheet.
I think we just became best friends.
I think we may have.
And yes, I put my testicles on your drum set.
I knew someone did. All right, well, go ahead. Explain your reasoning, then I'll explain mine for the exact same two picks that we made, which is kind of amazing.
So Derrick Henry got off to a little bit of a slow start, mm-hmm. but since then he's been what I expected him to be, which is a perfect fit for Lamar. I think I told you this when we started, that mesh point of like, is he giving it to Derrick Henry or could Lamar Jackson run here? If you're a linebacker or a defensive end, an outside linebacker, that is hell. That is literally hell. And Derrick Henry obviously had buck 99 the other day.
Yeah.
Looked really good. And I saw he's perfect. He's not done yet. He's a modern marvel. And then Hunter Henry, in a way I thought about Stevenson because I think you bring in the fumbles
And you like, you can't give it to Stevenson. He's about to be benched. And Hunter Henry, offensive player of the year, had that one big game. But I also give him credit for the pass defense on the offensive side of the ball in Cincinnati that prevented a turnover and really helped you win that football game on opening day. So Hunter Henry's your player of the year.
Yeah, Hunter Henry is not a lot of options to choose from, as you sort of pointed out there. No, you don't really have a whole lot of guys other than Ramondre Stevenson, who I think we all expected we'd be giving this award to, but he cannot hold on to the ball. Hunter Henry's had one good game and one good play, and that's enough to get you offensive player of the year on the New England Patriots.
Pretty much.
All right, let's get to defensive player of the year. I'll start with this one. My defensive player of the year is a former Patriot. Do we have the same one here?
Nope.
Kyle Van Noy is my defensive player of the year.
Okay.
With his relentless pass rush, and I think he's banged up. So this may be, you know, the last time you give him an award for anything here. I don't know if he's going to be playing this week, but I felt like why not give the guy some credit, give him some due. Kyle Van Noy has been flying around out there on that defense, and I think that for Baltimore, I mean, listen, they have a good roster. They have the type of roster that the Patriots should envy and try and get a lot of those type of players. But Kyle Van Noy is a player that you had, a player I thought was washed up. He has been tremendous. He got 6 sacks this year and has been a real leader on a Baltimore defense that has fallen off a bit, but not because of him.
So, and he's no longer complaining about the eye care he got at, where is that, Arrowhead Stadium when they were late to get the eye doctor down to him?
Something like
that,
yeah.
Took 10 minutes for the guy to get down. I should have it in 5.
Spoiled brat. Anyway, Aiden Hutchinson of the Detroit Lions.
The only guy with more sacks than Van Noy.
Leads the NFL in sacks. He's leader of a defense. That's a key part of their culture, their team. He is the classic high motor, high talent combo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's one of the keys as to why the Lions will have a chance to be a Super Bowl contender.
All right. Who is your Patriots defensive player of the year?
I find this one very difficult. There's a couple guys to choose from. I'm not going to let a couple missed plays sour me on a guy halfway through the year. I mean, halfway through the first quarter of the season was no questions asked the answer. I'm still going to go with Keon White. I'm not going to allow the lost edge in the pass rush last couple weeks. Selfish accusations from some people. Mm-hmm. I'm still going Keon White.
Yeah, I have Keon White penciled in here, too. I was also thinking Peppers, maybe, but I don't love
Gonzo.
The safety play so far. Gonzalez is another one. I think that his numbers, as much as these PFF numbers for him are BS, I think the numbers on the other side, everybody's trying to overcompensate. Well, look at all he's been up against and who he's been matched up with, and he's only allowed blah, 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 and blah. And it's like, he's been good.
Yeah.
He hasn't been great, and he's definitely not been bad.
Right.
But that's it. I can't have a harder take than that on him. For Keon White, though, I think that he has the most potential to be a difference maker, and I already pegged him as the guy that I thought was going to be MVP of the team. So there you go. All right. Who is the most improved player in the NFL, Andy?
Oh, I didn't. Wait, we're doing most improved. Why don't you do that, and I'll think
about
it.
All right. Mine is Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold for the NFL. I don't think there's a lot of other options that I'd put up there with him. He's leading the league in passer rating. His team is wagging right now with a strong offense. They did have that one bad game. He's got 11 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He has been fantastic in a high-powered offense that he is very capable of running, which I didn't think he would be. So I'm giving it to Sam Darnold.
So I am going to give it to a guy that is a journeyman kicker. He's from a New England Patriots. I think Joey Sly. He just set a franchise record with the second longest kick in NFL history.
Yeah, true.
And he's a guy that was battling with Chad Ryland like a month ago.
So he's your NFL and Patriots most improved player.
Most improved player because, and this is a side note too, the kicking thing is weird to me. I brought this up with Fitzy on the Six Rings podcast.
Mm-hmm.
When did 60-yard field goals become ho-hum? Like, 50-yard field goals you're now supposed to make.
Yeah.
And 60 are like, yeah, let's give it a shot. It used to be you would only do 60 with 3 seconds
only
left.
Only like Janikowski and a couple of guys, Prater, and like a couple of guys could even try them. Yeah.
I don't know if technique has changed. They found like launch angle or something has crept in analytics. If somebody was like, hey, maybe they put helium in the kicking balls. I have no idea what they're doing, but kicking has taken off. And Joey Sly and old friend Nick Folk is in the same boat.
Yes.
When Nick Folk got here in New England, what was that, 4 years ago? Everybody was like, oh, he can only make kicks of like 45 yards.
Yeah.
He now regularly nails 51, 53, 54-yard field goals.
And he's 100% from 30
right.
to 40. Yeah.
And he's 100 years old.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how this all works. Like, if this were a different sport, I think people would accuse all kickers of being on steroids for their legs or something. But, well, maybe they are. I don't know.
Leg steroids?
Just leg steroids.
Stuff they give
horses. Joey Sly takes it all because he's pretty jacked up top.
True.
Allegedly.
Hit the breaking news sounder there for that one. My most improved player is Joe Cardona because he had a tackle and a forced fumble this year, and I've never seen him do that before. Let's go coach of the year. Who is your coach of the year? Actually, I'll start with this one. My coach of the year is Andy Reid. Andy Reid is my coach of the year. I think that you could have given it maybe to O'Connell over there in Minnesota, but I think Andy Reid gets overlooked in terms of these awards. He hasn't won one coach of the year since he was in Philly, and that team's undefeated right now with a smattering of injuries to guys that they are counting on. Nothing so far from Travis Kelce, and that is an easy one for me. Andy Reid, coach of the year.
So I think Andy Reid should be in consideration, and it was for me between Kevin O'Connell, who I really like, and but I feel this guy that I'm giving it to, I kind of owe some make goods on.
Okay.
Mike Tomlin. I've been on my Mike Tomlin make good tour. And, I mean, he's got two quarterbacks. I think he's working with his backup quarterback in Fields, although I don't really know who the starter, the backup, the competition. I don't think his team is great, and they're 3-1. They got a good defense, but I don't think they're a great team. And so Mike Tomlin, there's a little career achievement part here, but I think he's your coach of the year right now.
All right. My Patriots coach of the year is Jeremy Springer.
Yeah.
That's yours, too?
Is there any other option?
Is there any? Yeah, I don't really.
It can't
think
be
of another
Mayo.
One.
It can't be Van Pelt. It certainly can't be Covington. I mean, no.
Special teams have been fine.
What's his name? The O-line coach.
No.
So, it has to be Springer. If you're going to have one, it has to be Springer.
Jerry Springer. All right, let's get
Jeremy.
To our rookies of the year. Who's your rookie of the year in the NFL?
The rookie of the year for me, isn't it Daniels?
Yep.
I mean, is there
it's
any other
too.
Option? So I'll give you my Patriots rookie of the year. Daniels is easy. Runaway. I mean, mm-hmm. He could be like an MVP candidate if he keeps up this
he
pace.
He is an MVP candidate right now.
I mean, like,
at the quarter pole, he is, I'd say. Yes.
For me, I'm going to go Laydon Robinson.
Okay.
I don't think he's been great. But you've thrown him out there to the Wolves, and he's not your worst offensive lineman. There's definitely worse offensive linemen out there who aren't rookies. So Laydon Robinson sort of by default. I don't know who else would be my
option. Robinson was second. I did Polk number one because he caught a touchdown pass.
Okay, great.
And there's been like two touchdowns.
Wow. How low is the bar around here?
A baby could crawl over it. How low
Lord.
It is. Jalen Polk, my rookie of the year for your New England Patriots. All right, what's the biggest surprise in the NFL this year?
So I'm going to give you a two-pronged one. It's positive, negative.
Okay.
It's an overachiever and an underachiever. The Vikings are my biggest positive surprise.
Mm-hmm.
That it's Sam Darnold leading them.
Yes.
I don't know if it turns into a pumpkin or if he is just that good and he's the comeback player of the year and Kevin O'Connell's a great coach. And then the flip side of that is, so Kevin O'Connell can take a journeyman jag and be undefeated. You go to Mike McDaniel, the coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
They have two of the best wide receivers in football and he can't, they weren't that good with Tua. Never mind coming through the rest of this Skylar Thompson debacle. So I'm surprised that the Dolphins are as bad as the Patriots, I guess, and that offense is that bad.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the Bengals are so bad. I did not expect them to come out and struggle this much, even though they are historically a slow-starting team. So that's a surprise to me for the negative. The positive, though, has got to be the Saints. I'm still very impressed by the New Orleans Saints and the start that they got off to. Derek Carr and how he's playing, all of that, I think, is noteworthy. And we'll see how the season ends up going for them. But right now, I'm still pretty impressed by the Saints. That took me completely by surprise. All right, the MVP of the NFL through four games is who, Andy Hart?
It has to be the quarterback of the undefeated football team, Patrick Mahomes.
My MVP, too.
I know the numbers aren't that good, but he's winning games. Like, he's doing what he do, and that's win football games, find a way. And it feels like they're on a Brady-like Patriots trend where they're going to play their best football after Thanksgiving, and we'll be talking about that. So, yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
All right, Mahomes is mine as well. Again, like I said before, you're not getting really anything from the wide receiver that you signed. Hollywood Brown's out for the year. Kelsey's not doing anything for you, and they're still 4-0. Who is the Patriots MVP?
I'm going to go with my guy, Joey Sly.
Joey Sly.
He's been unbelievable. He was in a dogfight to win the kicking job with Chad Ryland. Go look at his numbers. He's not a good career kicker. Like, he's a journeyman with, like,
he's
an
not, you're
80% right. make rate, and he has been good. Remember early in the year, too, we thought it was, he's only trying, like, 37-yard field goals or whatever? And, well, now he's hitting 63-yard field goals. So what's your next complaint? He's just a good kicker right now.
Yeah, nothing you can complain about.
And that's about all
him.
They got.
And you can't complain about Bryce Behringer in the punting game either. That's been pretty good, and he's my MVP. And that tells you all you need to know about the state of the New England Patriots through four games here in the 2024-25 season. Our MVPs are the kicker and the punter.
Ouch,
that's the way it is. So there you go. Those are the quarter pole awards for the NFL and for the New England Patriots. Are we going to do this every four games? We're going to have like a midway poll and a three-quarters poll and all that?
I feel like midway, yes.
Three-quarters,
I feel like the three-quarter poll you forget about. It's probably around Thanksgiving. There's other stuff going on. So, yeah, we'll do the halfway.
Patriots will be like 1-11 by then.
Yeah, we'll be. I'm going to be knee-deep in scouting tackles from the Southeast Conference by then.
All right. Very good. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Before we take a break here, let's go to John. He's in Granby, Connecticut, and he waited through the entire award show to make this point. Go ahead, John.
Hey.
Hi, John.
Thanks for taking me.
You got it, buddy.
My problem with this whole season is that we've got nothing, no joy here, nothing to talk about, but we do have speculation.
Did you not hear the awards? We had Bryce Behringer and Joey Sly to talk about and celebrate, John. Maybe you missed the awards.
I do love me some Joey Sly. He's a beast. But at the same time, you know, we've got nothing really going on. So we've got speculation. So here's some speculation.
Okay.
So maybe the reason the offensive line is so banged up is that Drake May is not in there. So what if they had somebody who could dart out like a gazelle and you wouldn't have a big pile of bodies trying to, you know, defend a lead-footed quarterback forever? So, yeah, I don't know. I just wonder if we're looking at it entirely wrong.
Okay.
Backwards, upside down.
All right, thanks for the call, John.
I haven't heard that.
Is it because Brissett's not fast enough that the offensive line is looking bad? He's under siege in 1 second. Like, they're walking past this offensive line to get to him.
You don't have to be mean to John. It was an
I'm
idea.
Not being mean to John. I'm just saying.
I think we want all
what
ideas.
I'm observing is not necessarily what he was describing. That's all.
But I appreciate the creativity and the unique thought and bringing it to the table.
It was a great thought. I just
it's
thought,
wrong.
I have to agree with everybody now?
No, the tone was more the issue. Oh, you kind of attacked
police.
Him with your
You're
tone.
Ridiculous with its tone.
There's
crap.
A lot of tone on this station. It gets you in trouble.
I don't think it does. It's gotten me right to one chair of WEEI Afternoon Show. Host one. So what do you think of that? You take
it's true.
That
That's
tone.
A fact. I mean,
it
I can I argue against it?
And it's been all tone.
You're the one chair on the afternoon show that doesn't have your name on
That's
it.
That's true. And it was very much an intentional decision. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Jaylen Brown. In the news, literally, in news magazines, on the cover of Time magazine. We'll get to that and what he said in the magazine right after this.
Finding different ways to lead also sometimes means that sacrifice where, you know, in a night we plan, don't mean to disrespect them, but the Detroit Pistons, who have struggled over the last year or two, you know, we're going to play through Peyton, let him go for 30. We're going to play through Sam, let him shoot 10 threes tonight. We're going to still win the game. You know, it don't have to be the normal way, but that gives those guys confidence. It gives those guys ability to run free, and we're going to need that down the line.
Jaylen Brown with some shots at Detroit. By the way, name this tune. Stiz, don't help him.
Sounds like an edgier Charlie Brown.
That's exactly right. It's an edgy Charlie Brown Christmas. Yes, this is a Vince Guaraldi trio.
Doesn't it feel like that?
No.
Shut up.
This is Nas. This is New York State of Mind by Nas.
I think it's the piano.
Was he at a Diddy party?
The piano definitely was.
Was he at a freak off?
Nas was against Jay-Z, so I would say probably not. I don't know. I don't know if he was down with Diddy. I don't think so, though.
People are saying Jay-Z could
That's
be
what
next.
I'm hearing, right? Like, yeah. He's the next domino to fall here. So Nas on the right side of history on the Jay-Z-Nas thing.
And Arkan, Nas versus Jay-Z, who won that beef real quick so you're on record?
Nas.
Yeah. All yeah. Right.
And I was a big Jay-Z.
Why don't
I
get to answer?
Big Jay-Z fan.
Andy, who won, Nas or Jay-Z?
Nas.
Nasty Nas.
You know, as I say it the exact same way he did, so I'm like with the cool kids.
There is a, have you heard the AI Biggie version of this? There's an AI Biggie cover of New York State of Mind.
No, I've never heard
and
of
it. And I hate AI. I hate this AI music stuff. I think it sucks. It's so good.
We'll pull it up for the next hour.
The biggie.
No, we're
well,
not allowed
you,
to.
You can't play it. But
like, oh, that's right. The AI.
Yeah, yeah the AI. And also, memos. There's a lot of swears in it, too. But listen to it during the next break. It's so good. It's like, it's almost as good as the original song. Anyways, we are talking about Jaylen Brown, not Nas and not AI Biggie Smalls either. We're talking about Jaylen Brown, who was in Time magazine, and I think really putting to rest this idea that he's not marketable, Stephen A. Smith. The unmarketable Jaylen Brown now is his own shoe, which he had to make himself, but whatever, he did it, and he's selling it. And he's now on the cover of Time magazine and is, I think, becoming as big of a story this upcoming season as anybody. I mean, really, like Jason Tatum, anybody around the league, like Jaylen Brown is an A-list name right now.
It's funny to the winner go the spoils kind of thing.
Like, yeah.
You go from no one likes you,
right? No one wants to play with you. You're not marketable, that whole thing. Now you're on the cover of Time, and you're just riding high. As you said,
he was on Hot Ones today?
Yes.
Or yesterday, whenever it was.
Your own sneaker brand, which he may regret. I'm not sure that's a great move for him. And I listened to his whole breakdown of why he did it, and it's like, no, just take $100 million from some company and go, like, you don't put your money. You're going to end up losing $100 million on this instead of making $100 million on just the traditional.
Probably, but he's taking a risk. I mean, that's what business is. He's trying it.
Shooting a shot.
Let's see. If it works, he could be a billionaire, you know? Like, I mean.
You think it's going to work?
I don't know. Probably not, but he's trying something.
Has it ever worked?
I don't begrudge a guy for trying something if he can afford to take the hit.
Yeah, but has it ever worked?
I mean, there's shoe companies that have worked, yes.
No, but. Athletes going off and just, I'm going to start my
own. How many athletes have started their own shoe company?
And I don't count, I don't want to hear the Jordan one because he didn't really. It's no. Nike.
Nike.
He's Nike is Jordan and Jordan is Nike.
He didn't
start
the
whole
yeah.
thing. No, I don't think
there's
it's
not right. a lot of examples of someone doing this.
No, there's.
Which is what I'm, you know.
Yeah, Marbury. I think D-Wade has it right now.
D-Wade has his own shoe. He doesn't have like Nike D-Wade?
I believe so.
Oh.
I believe my daughter got him for volleyball. They're
really?
Pretty sweet, but you got to order them from like a Chinese website.
That doesn't sound...
No, it seems shady. I was actually surprised the shoes came and my identity didn't get stolen. I'm not going to lie to you, the way where she ordered them from.
The shoes didn't
anyway,
like poison you somehow?
Back give
you
to
like,
my guy,
give
Jay
you like
LeBron.
A rash in your feet?
That quote we just played coming in, we do need to recall, was the most disrespectful thing ever said.
It was pretty good.
Because it disrespected the Pistons. Mm-hmm. It disrespected, in my opinion, Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser, because like you're just like the crappy guys at the end of the bench that we'll choose when we allow you to score some points.
Right.
We can beat the Pistons. How bad are the Pistons? We can beat them with Pritchard and Hauser kind of thing. That was disrespectful. But no, he's riding high. Shouldn't he be? Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Finals MVP. Like, he helped lead the Boston Celtics to the title. The best part, I thought, from the Time thing was the quote about how JT and JB, we get along better than our supporters do, which I think is actually true. I do think they have found a way to coexist comfortably and succeed. And out here, because when I say I love JB and I start taking little pot shots at Jason Tatum,
right.
people get all mad. The text line lights up. What'd you watch basketball? Did you even watch the finals? Did you see his stat line? I think he's right. I think they have found a way to coexist in a way that the true fans on the opposite ends of the polar spectrum haven't.
Yeah.
And that's weird. It's good. That's probably good for Celtic Nation in both ways because, A, your team is good. There's cohesion in your team.
Right.
And B, you can have fun bar fights and radio arguments and whatever, right?
I love a good bar fight.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Like, don't you need a good argument sometimes at
a bar?
You
ever been in a bar fight, like an actual bar fight?
Oh, no.
No?
In a bar?
Yeah.
No.
I was in a bar fight in the same bar that I believe a former coworker one time got into a bar fight as well in Boulder, Colorado, which should probably tip you off there a little bit. But,
Fourier?
Yeah.
Oh.
He told me that he also, it was this bar called The Walrus in Boulder. We didn't fight each other, if that's what you're thinking.
Oh.
Probably wouldn't have been.
I know who my money's
very
on.
Very quick fight if that was
Christian
Wark. Yes.
And we're not talking about this Christian. the big one.
I'd probably, with his knees all banged up, I could probably run away from him.
I'm not sure you could.
If I absolutely had to.
I'm like, not sure you could.
His back's jacked up, his knees all messed up. Like, if he got one swing in, I'm done.
Can you run?
I could maybe run away from him.
I feel like you'd get winded very quickly.
I would get winded, but he probably would
and trip.
You know,
one I think you'd
knees,
trip, too.
One of his knees would give out or something. You'd be writhing on the ground.
My money's on for you. Anyway.
Mine probably would be, too. I'd throw the fight. But, it was a place called The Walrus, and it was over an air hockey game. I was playing air hockey with my friend, and this guy came over. He said, hey, you cut me in the line. I said, what are you talking about? There was nobody here. And he got all upset, and he pushed me, and so I punched him, and then we all left. That was my
just
one
for context, how many drinks in were you?
I was only like four or five drinks. We had only been there for a little bit. Like, so I'd had a couple, and it's Pearl Street in Boulder, so you go around the different bars. And we were at the Walrus, and the Walrus is like not a very intense place, you know? It's just
air
a bro-y kind of bar. We were just in there, you know, hanging out, playing air hockey. And all of a sudden, this guy's all mad, and he pushed me, and I won the fight, which was, I didn't think I'd
was
ever be
drunk?
Able to say. He was definitely drunk.
Oh, so you barely had to touch him when he went down?
No, I touched him. I connected.
Square to the chin?
That sounds so wrong.
It was more like up here, like cheekbone, you know?
Was nice.
Right
look
up
at
there.
You.
Yeah, connected.
Very
was,
proud of you.
It was probably the manliest thing I've ever done my entire life. Other than, like, sire a child. I'd say other than that. Is up here, become a dad, punch the drunk guy at the Walrus. Right? If you're doing tears, I'd say those are basically one and two. Thank you very much. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. I don't know how we got off Jaylen Brown and onto bar fights, but Matt is in Rhode Island with a thought on Jaylen Brown. Go ahead, Matt.
No, well, actually, this is the Celtics and in general. Jrue Holiday said this was, like, as far as his NBA career, is the toughest camp that he's ever been a part of. based on conditioning. So I think they're going to be really ready to go. But actually, I was calling because the other day I was listening, and some guy said the Knicks had the best top five. And listen, all the Knicks fans who think that they invented basketball and they've ever done anything, bringing Cat to New York is the worst decision like they've ever made in their life. This guy, he's a talented player. He's made his numbers in the Western Conference on soft teams. He soft himself. There's no way that's going to work ever. And just trust me on this. They've gotten a lot worse, and now that they can't use that Villanova thing, they're just going to fall off a cliff on that.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Trust
Julius Randle, not from Villanova, but I understand what you mean.
It's not going to work. Just trust it.
So Dante DiVincenzo is. Listen, it wasn't working with Julius Randle, right? Like, the Knicks weren't winning. If they had won a championship or even gotten there, or even gotten to a conference final or anything with these guys, then okay. Then you say, yeah, you know, like they shouldn't have messed up this great chemistry that they have. The chemistry was only great to Knicks fans who haven't had anything to cheer for in decades. Like, that's really all this is. So for the Knicks, for them to get upset about their identity and their toughness, all this crap, it's like, what has that ever gotten you? What has that ever gotten the Knicks? What has that ever gotten Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and, you know, the rest of these guys? It's just not, I don't see it. Like, I know it's an evolving thing and teams change and whatever, but, like, I think you upgraded. I think that Towns is an upgrade from Julius Randle. I think they're both good, but I think Towns is better.
I think Towns is better. But the chemistry, now, I don't really buy the whole soft West and see what happens in the East. Like, we'll see how they come together as a team. I mean, was the West soft when you got KG? Did everybody say KG? Yeah, he's coming from the soft West.
No, like, I don't think so.
He came from Minnesota and you...
I mean, the West was like Shaq and Kobe and Duncan. And
no, I know it was a different time.
Nasty for a while, yeah.
I just... Do you think the West is soft?
No.
I don't really think the West is soft.
I don't think so at all.
Why? Because Luka and Joker are out there, like, oh, the Europeans are soft basketball. Is that
Jokic is like the toughest guy in the history of the league?
So that's I don't think the East is is the East tough because of Jimmy Butler and the Heat? Like, would you call Embiid tough?
I'd say in the East between the Celtics guy, you'd mean tough in terms of like physical?
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. I'd say Butler, you know, Cleveland's kind of a tough team. I think the Celtics are a tough team.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so.
I think Jaylen Brown is tough.
I think their guards are as tough as they come.
I think I would say they're tough. But
White and Holiday, I don't know if there's two tougher guards in the league than those two guys.
Yeah, in a basketball sense.
Are they beating people up?
Fight anybody or like...
I guess.
And they're, you know, I think they're a clean, tough basketball.
Like, I consider Giannis tough. You consider Giannis tough?
I think
I know
he's
he gets
bully.
Hurt, but he's like a
bully.
A tough player.
I think he's a bully.
Okay, well, you got to be tough to be a bully.
No, you don't. You're usually fraudulently tough. Once you get punched in the mouth, you fall down, back down.
All right. Well,
you cry. You ever seen Christmas Story?
He did win a championship.
Doom, doom, doom. Just beating the heck out of him.
Who beat up Giannis that way?
Well, he gets bounced from the play. You're not allowed to actually beat somebody up on a basketball court. It's
no,
not
that's
1980s.
True. But we're
Bill
talking
Lambeer
about
here.
Toughness and guys being tough. I understand. Like, Giannis gets hurt a lot.
Baby.
That's true. He does get hurt a good amount, but Butler was hurt last
and
year.
And he loves to drive on bigger people and bounce off of them and then complain that he didn't get the foul call if he didn't get the foul call when he initiated the contact.
I mean, that's everybody in the NBA who does that.
Yeah, but they're not all his size.
Mm.
Dude's
LeBron
huge.
Does that. He's pretty big.
Yes.
Like, they all, like, lots
I think
of guys
he's a bully,
that.
Too.
Yeah.
And that's why Ime called
ball.
Him out. That's why Ime called him a bitch.
Okay.
Because he's a bully.
And Ime.
And Ime called him out.
Right. LeBron James has won many, many championships, and Ime Udoka's done nothing. So who cares what Ime Udoka called
You can be
him.
A bully and a bitch and still win titles.
Okay.
Right?
That's fine.
I mean,
so I don't understand how that
Jason
ruins the
Tatum
Knicks,
Tatum is not a tough player, and he has a title.
Yeah. Right? I don't understand how that ruins the Knicks. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we will reset on the Patriots. Gerard Mayo with some interesting comments today. Maybe even a shot at Bill Belichick. We'll get to that next. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.